So, we have one of the greatest decisions to make in our life. One that goes to the very core of our makeup. One that defines us for who we are and tells us who we must be. Is it blue and black, or is it gold and white? So for those of you who aren't familiar or haven't watched the news in the last couple of days, both morning shows, evening news, social media everywhere has picked up on the story of this dress. A picture of some dress posted online, and some people see the dress as blue and white. Or sorry, blue and black. Some see it as white and gold. Well, I'm here to dispel all of the anxiety for you, because, as the experts say, this defines who we are as people. It defines our very core, how we see this dress. So I'll tell you, it's white and gold. More importantly is our gospel passage today. Our gospel passage today is another one of those turning points, possibly one of the most important points, not just in this gospel, but in all of our Christian experience of this life. Just two verses before we pick up today's gospel's lesson, we have Peter and Jesus together, probably in a heated conversation that finally comes to Jesus looking at Peter and say, "Who do you say that I am?" To which Peter replies, "You are the Christ, you are the Messiah." There it is. For the very first time, there's the changing point. From the beginning to this point, in the story of Jesus, we've seen him teaching, in parables mostly. We've seen him healing. We've seen him doing miracles. We've been looking this entire time for who is this person of Jesus. And it gets answered. And now, everything else shifts. Because now it's not about who is this person, who is Jesus. It's what is this person in Jesus, and what does that mean for us? The cross is an important symbol that we see. And it is when we get into today's gospel that it really comes to the fore. So in the very first line of the gospel, Jesus himself tells us what it will mean. He says, "The Son of Man must endure suffering." It doesn't say will, it doesn't say may, it says must. Uh-oh, what do we get next? We get Peter, puts his arm around Jesus, pulls him to the side. As a friend, it's like, whoa, settle down here. That's not what the Messiah is. For up to this point, the Messiah is supposed to be this great king to the people and to the Hebrews. He's supposed to bring the kingdom back in glory and majesty with political might and military authority, and bring the kingdom to everyone again on earth. And Jesus just said, nope. The Son of God, the Son of Man, must suffer. Paradigm shift. Peter, completely out of his mind at this point, can't believe this. And what does Jesus do? He rebukes him in public. He makes sure the crowd can hear. And he says, "Peter, get behind me." Well, actually, he doesn't say that, does he? He says, "Satan, get behind me." Satan is a term that the Hebrews would have easily known because it was part of the culture. It was a word that meant thief or deceiver or liar. Pretty harsh accusation. And it's interesting if you look at the Greek that this was originally written in, that the word that they use for "get behind me" is the exact same word that we'll get a few verses later when Jesus says, "Pick up your cross and follow me. Follow me and get behind me." The same thing. Exactly the same word. We, in English, have two different translations of that, but they didn't. It meant the same thing. Even Satan will get behind Jesus for what he is about to do. I can't get out of my head this image. And it happened shortly before Ash Wednesday, when all over the news media, on television, on the internet, all I could see was pictures of 21 young men in orange jumpsuits on their knees in front of their would-be executioners. And along the bottom of the screen, it said, "The people of the cross." Three days later, I was on a street corner giving people their own cross for Ash Wednesday, calling them people of the cross, reminding them of what this season of Lent calls us to. We hear, "You are dust, and to dust you shall return," and it reminds us of our mortality of this life. But it is because of that cross that we have the hope to move past this life. We hear often these days messages coming from pulpits and from stars and celebrities and those who are trying to build us up, saying things like, "You've been successful. You have God to thank for that, and that's a good thing. And your prosperity and your privilege are gifts, and you should welcome them with open arms, because it's about hope, and it's about love, and it's about peace." And where is the other part of this story? I'm here to tell you there's more to the story than just that. The cross changed everything. Those things aren't bad, but we must remember the rest. We must remember that God saw our suffering. He saw the pain. He saw the violence and the evil and the oppression on the earth. And what was his response? He came down in the form of us, of a human. And he found himself suffering the most horrific death that I can ever imagine, so that he could show us, "I'm here. I will go through the pain with you. Evil won't last always." And this is the story of the people of the cross. It's the story that we've seen through history for ages. We've seen it in the way that India worked for their own independence from the colonies of Britain. We've seen it in apartheid in South Africa. We've seen it in our own country in the civil rights movement. The people who are oppressed don't fight back with guns. They don't fight back with power. They fight back with community, standing up for what they believe in, fighting the oppression that they are all underneath. James Cone is a theologian, and a few years back released a book called The Cross and the Lynching Tree, which I highly recommend to you if you're looking for something this Lenten season to reflect upon. And in this book, he brings it home for something very close to especially this area of the country where it was so prevalent. And those names that we don't know, along with the names that we do know. And the cross and the lynching tree together show the suffering and the oppression that are endured, but then can be transformed into signs of the redemption of humankind and what we strive for. The season of Lent is a way for us to enter in as we approach the passion and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's important to remember, though, that the passion must be gone through to get to the resurrection. We can't just skip over those parts because they're hard to read or they're hard to stomach. They're there because they must be there for the resurrection to have any meaning at all in our lives. This Lent, we remember those things. We remember the people of the cross because we ourselves claim to be people of the cross. And I ask all of us, if we are people of the cross, will we pick up our cross and will we get behind and follow him? Amen.